Well, if you brought your Bibles tonight, if you wouldn't mind turning in them with me to John chapter 15. And I have to say that when I was studying today, my Bible just opened up to John chapter 15. It just plopped right open. And we've been here for a little while, and so maybe yours is doing the same, if you bring your Bible. But it plopped right open. I was kind of sorry. I was like, dang, I'm breaking my Bible in, John chapter 15. If you're taking notes today, the title of the message this evening is Connected to the Vine. Yeah. And I just want Pastor Luke to take note that I titled it right this time. Yeah, I think it was last week he was giving Antonio and I a hard time because we changed up the title of the message while he was gone. But we got it right today, so that's good. And anyways, I don't remember what part we were on. It was like 6 or 7 or... But you can just title it Summary, and you can put V.1-6 because we're going to... Basically, what we're going to do today is we're going to summarize what we've been talking about these last several weeks here in John chapter 15, and we're going to cover verses 1 through 6. Pastor Luke finished up with verse number 5, and we will finish up with verse number 6 today, but you know, we're going to do a little summary of what we've been talking about. And I really feel like God wanted us to do a recap. God wanted us to come to a place where we got the big picture of what's going on. In these verses so that, hey, we could better walk it out in our life, all right? Now, what's interesting is the word summary, all right, a synonym for the word summary. Everybody here knows what a synonym is, right? It's another word but means the same thing. You can substitute it, stand in it, and it'll mean the same thing. Another word for the word summary is the word digest. All right, the word digest, all right? Now, everybody here is familiar with digestion, all right? Like, Pastor Joe, are you serious? Don't worry, there's a point to this, all right? When you leave shift tonight, you're going to go out and you're going to hit up BJ's, you're going to be at In-N-Out, you're going to go to IHOP, wherever it is that you go, and you're going to get some grub, all right? And you're going to take in that delicious food. Now, everybody here knows that when you take in the food, man, the food doesn't just sit in your stomach. All right? Your body digests it. Your stomach comes along and it takes the nutrients. It takes the vitamins. It takes the minerals. And then it shoots it out to your body, to wherever your body needs it, so that you can continue being strong. You can continue in health. You can continue living life the way that you live life. Amen. All right, well, in the same way, you and I have got to come to a place where, you know what? We digest the Word of God. We take it in, and we do more with it than just let it sit. If I could say it to you like this, you and I have got to learn to not just be information tanks. Amen. All right? You and I have got to learn how to take in the Word of God, digest it, and then put it to practice in our life. One of the saddest things that you'll ever see is a person, and they've been to seminary school, and they've been to Sunday school, and they've been grown up in church all their life, and they can quote to you chapter and verse, and they can tell you who wrote the book, and when it was written, and to who it was written to, and why it was written, and how long it took to get to the people, but yet they live a powerless life as a Christian. And it's because when they took in God's word, it was just a bunch of information that just became an information take, and they never digested it. And then part of digestion, like we said, is the body takes the minerals and it does something with it. And so you and I, and we said it here in Shift a lot, I know I say it a lot, you and I have got to come to the place where we're not just hearers of the word only, but we are doers as well. All right, and so when you and I come to that place where, hey, we're taking in the Word of God, we're digesting it, and then we're putting it to practice in our life, hey, we're going to walk in the fullness of God more so than we ever have before. And so today I really felt like God wanted to do a summary. He wanted to help you and I digest it a little bit more so that, hey, we can see some new facets and really get the big picture of what he's talking about here. And so today... speaking of the big picture, today we're going to be talking about three major subjects or themes from Jesus out of John chapter 15, verses number 1 through 6. Are you guys here tonight? All right. Thank you, Pastor Luke. No, that was pretty good. All right. So three major subjects or themes from Jesus out of verses 1 through 6. Number one, subject number one. If you're taking notes, you can write subject number one. Write the number one. Do a colon. And then put God's position - the giver of life. The first major subject I find in these verses is God's position. He is the giver of life. Tonight, young adults, I got to tell you, and you got to get this truth grounded in your life. Jesus Christ is the giver of life. And let me just add to it this. Jesus Christ is the giver of life, and he's not the taker. You know, if you talk to, if you look at the world and people who are unsaved, many of them would say, you know what, Christianity, it's nothing but a bunch of rules. It's nothing but a bunch of regulations. Can't do this, can't do that. And so they have this picture of God. They have this picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ that God is out to restrict them from partaking of benefits that are out there. He's keeping me from, he's taking away life from me. But you need to understand today that Jesus Christ, he is the giver of life and he is not the taker. And so today, if you've got a tint or if you've got a hue in your scope of what Jesus is, maybe you have a feeling, you know what, Jesus seems to be taking a whole lot. He wants to take my life. He wants to take my money. He wants to take everything and he wants to. Today, you've got to understand that he is the giver of life and he is not the taker. All right, so tell the devil to go where he belongs. Amen. He's the giver of life and not the taker. Tonight, you guys, Jesus is the source. Tonight, Jesus is the fountain. I like to say it like this, and I'll say it for you twice because it's going to be a little bit hard to understand at first. Jesus all by himself is the supply by which a human being can obtain true and genuine vitality and animation in all of its fullness. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Let me say that again because I don't think you guys quite got it. Jesus all by himself is the supply by which a human being, you and me, can obtain true and genuine vitality. True and genuine animation in all of its fullness. In all of its fullness. Jesus all by himself. You know, if you look at the world today, the world is trying to substitute everything else for God's position as the giver of life. You look at them today, you know what, they're after the houses, the new, I got to have the new house, I got to have the new car, I got to have the new spouse. You look at Hollywood, man, and they trade in their car every 5 years, and they trade in their spouse every 5 years, too. And they trade in their car, and they get a new one, and they trade in their spouse, and they get a used one. Oh! They've been trading so long, they get used ones. It's all about the money. It's all about I got to be famous. I got to be the American Idol. I've got to have popularity. I've got to achieve. I've got to acquire. I've got to obtain. Give me this and give me that. And really, if you look at what they're doing, they're trying to pull from those things to move themselves out of death into life. All the while, Jesus Christ is the giver of life. All the while, he's the giver of life. You know, we've seen enough. Everybody here has seen enough TV shows, you've seen enough movies you can think of a situation where in the TV or in the movie, somebody died. You know, they had a heart attack and they died, it was in their apartment, whatever, and the ambulance shows up and the paramedics come jumping out and they grab that machine called a defibrillator. Look at your neighbor and say, defibrillator. It's not defibrillator, because that's easy, it's defibrillator. All right, it's a machine that has the two handles, and they rub it together, you know, and the guy says, all right, one, two, three, clear, doosh. All right, and they try to shock the person out of death into life, right? They try to bring them back to life, all right? And it's almost like the world, you know what? They're taking money. They're pursuing money. They're after the new house, the new car, the new thing. And it's almost like they're trying to plug into those things to doof, bring themselves out of death into life, bring themselves out of their depression into life. Bring themselves out of the muck and the mire, out of the bondage, out of the boredom, out of the same old things that the world will always have to offer into life. All the while, Jesus Christ is the giver of life. I'm here to tell you today, guys, and I know I'm repeating myself, but it's good anyway. All right? Thank you for that. You're welcome. You're welcome to do that. That's what I mean. You know, talking about shocking people and bringing them back to life, there remains only one power today, and it's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at the moment that somebody believes that gospel and as a result calls upon the name of the Lord, my Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes down on the inside and does the miracle of rebirth. And that moment, a person is brought out of death into life. Isaiah 53 says it like this: who has believed our report, our message, our gospel, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? What are you talking about today, Pastor Joe? Are you talking about having life? Or are you talking about having joy? Yeah, but that ain't even the half of it. You talking about being happy? Yeah, but that even a quarter of it. I remember I saw a TV show. It was a Christian guy. He was running around. He's just going down the streets in his neighborhood, wherever he had a mic and he had a camera guy. He's just asking random people, strangers, what is the purpose of your life? What is the purpose for being created? Hey, you! What is the number one thing that you're after? That people are after? And person after person, happiness, joy, freedom, fulfillment, satisfaction. So what are you talking about today, Pastor Joe? I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about having happiness. I'm talking about having peace. I'm talking about being healed in your body. I'm talking about having more than enough. I'm talking about having favor. I'm talking about being blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied. I'm talking about all of that and the above, from the top of the list to the bottom, from the spirit to the soul to the body. And the best part of it is tonight, young people, is a living, breathing, walking, talking relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A carrier of his presence. Getting to intimately know Jesus Christ and his presence. Let the rain of your presence fall on me. Everywhere that I go, with every breath I breathe. That's what I'm talking about. As you can tell, I love the old stuff. If it were up to me, we'd be singing. No, just kidding. Anyways, Psalm 16, verse number 11. You have to turn there. You're there in John 15. Just stay there. We got it up on the overhead. Psalm 16, verse number 11 says it like this. You, God, will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The major theme that we see Jesus talking about here in John 15, verses 1 through 6, that he is the giver of life. You're there in John chapter 15. Look at how he says it. He says, I am the true vine. I am the source. I'm it, baby. Look no further. I am the true vine. Verse number 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Wasn't the word that the world said, or the word that I have spoken to you. Watch what he says, verse 4, abide in me. Verse number 5, he says it again, I am the vine. And at verse number 6, if anyone does not abide in me, Jesus is the giver of life. He is the source. He is, let me say it to you like this, the donor. He is the provider. He is the supplier. He is the benefactor. Jesus Christ is the sole contributor of life. He's the source of life. Today we're talking about, you know, digesting, taking it in, digesting it, and then putting it to practice in my life. So what do I do with this knowledge, Pastor Joe, that Jesus is the source of life? Today you got to ask yourself, where are you going to find life? What are you doing? What is it that you're attempting to obtain in order to draw from that thing, life? Because the truth of the matter is tonight, young people, is that it should be Jesus Christ in every area of our life. And in fact, if you want all the rest, that's where you got to start, and that's where you got to continue. It's in him. It's in him today. All right, so three major themes, major subjects that we find here in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Number one, God's position. He is the giver of life, and he is not the taker. Number two today, I find the subject of fruitfulness. Look at your neighbor and say, fruitfulness. It's got a little quiet in here. Fruitfulness, all right? Thank God you and I get to bear the fruit that God intended for you and I to bear. Thank God that where we used to be jacked up, messed up, producing the fruit of the world, what are you talking about, Pastor Joe? I kissed the girl and I liked it. Katy Perry. that's a girl sang that song. That's the kind of fruit she's producing. But you and I, we get to be fruitful. We don't get to be, I'm a freak, and I was born this way, and or all the other stuff that the world bears. You and I, we get to be fruitful and bear the fruit that God intended us for us to bear from the very beginning. You know, guys, there's a verse in Genesis, and it says this about mankind. It says that at one point in time, every thought and intention of men's hearts was only evil continually. And the Bible says that God at that time regretted that he had made man. But thank God we left that kind of stuff behind. We left the muck and the mire, as we talked about a few weeks back. We left the slime, as the Bible says, and we got moved out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so today, you and I, we get to bear fruit. What are you talking about, Pastor Joe? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. A few weeks ago, I think it was when I preached, we had some discussion questions, and there were some questions up there about fruit. And after the service was over, I kept on hearing people, what's fruit? Everybody at my table was like, what's fruit? What are you talking about? Bearing fruit? We bear fruit? What is that all about? All right? So Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, it says this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, or the things that are produced in a person's life when the Holy Spirit is active in them, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And finally, verse number 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and with its lust. That's the kind of fruit we're talking about producing in your life. Fruit is not apples and oranges. You and I, we don't bear apples and oranges, you know. But the fruit that we are supposed to produce and that we can produce today is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, so on and so forth. Now, what's interesting about these verses is you'll find here in verse number, actually, you'll find in these two verses that the two catalysts by which a person will bring forth fruit in their life. All right. The first one is the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is active in your life, he will be the catalyst for you bearing love, joy, peace, so on and so forth. All right. And then we find the other catalyst here in verse number 24. It says, and those who are Christ have crucified, put to death the flesh with its passions and with its desires. And so we see another catalyst that can be active in a person's life, the flesh. All right. And if the flesh is the catalyst in your life, guess what? You're going to produce what the world produces. You're going to produce the ugly. You're going to produce the nasty. You're going to produce sin in your life. The Bible says that the flesh will only lead you to a curse, and in the end, death. So today, thank God, you and I can be fruitful. Because in John chapter 15, that's the major theme that we see, that hey, you and I are to be fruitful people. Are you serious? You and I get to be fruitful people. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse number 17. Thank God that you and I get to be fruitful. Romans chapter 6, verse number 17. I love these passages. It says, but God be thanked, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching, preaching, whatever, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. In other words, you shouldn't see it as being a slave to righteousness. You should see it as, thank God Almighty, I am free at last. All right? I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Now watch what he says in verse number 21. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What are we talking about today? We're talking about producing love. We're talking about producing joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, all those things we talked about. You know, the list doesn't stop there, guys. How many of you guys realize today that the Bible says that the works that Jesus did, you get to do also? The Bible said, I don't know about your Bible, my Bible says that, man, Jesus went about preaching and teaching and healing all kinds of sickness and disease and those who were sick and oppressed of the devil. You should be doing the same works that Jesus did. You should have some preach. Pastor Joe, I'm not called to be a pastor. That's fine. You should still have some preach in you. You should still have the Word of God abounding in your heart and your life. And you know what? You get around people and they're just like, I don't know what it is, but I just like to hear you talk. Just go ahead and keep on talking because it's sweet. It's good. It's real good. Why? Because your speech is seasoned with salt. You've got the Word of God coming forth out of your mouth. You've got preacher. You're bearing the fruit that Jesus bore. You're doing the works that he did. You're laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed. You're the catalyst by which people get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. I don't know about you, but we are the body of Christ, and we are supposed to be out doing the works that Jesus did. And I'm here to tell you today that if you obey the Bible, you lay hands on somebody to receive the Holy Ghost is going to come upon them, they're going to be filled, and they're going to speak with new tongues. Why? Because you're called to be fruitful. You're called to be fruitful. You're called to give an altar call and say, hey, you going to hell. You need to get saved. And watch people. Now, I don't mean that literally, all right? That's not the best way to minister to people, all right? But we're talking about being fruitful in our lives, all right? Now for some of us, I have to say this too. Some of us, you have too much preach, all right? You just need to, all right? You know you have too much preach when you show up to your relative's house and the moment you haven't even greeted them at the door yet and they're like already like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, all right? At that point in time, you need to preach with your lifestyle. You need to preach with your lifestyle. The Bible says that the only gospel some people will read is your life. The only book they will ever open up and see Jesus in is your lifestyle. So sometimes I think we get too carried away with the whole, you know, you need to get saved and you going to hell and you stupid and all right. And we need to preach. We need to preach with our lifestyle. We need to preach with our lifestyle. What are we talking about? We're talking about bearing fruit. Go back to John 15 and watch what he says. We're talking about three major subjects, three major themes we see in these verses. And subject number two is the subject of fruitfulness. He says here in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot, thank you, Pastor Luke, bear fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, and this is the best part, bears much fruit. Bears much fruit. As far as the fruitful thing is concerned, I think this is the best part of the first six verses, that you and I get to bear much fruit. Do you know what it is to live a truly fruitful life and be satisfied? You know, the world doesn't have anything to speak for. The world doesn't have anything to say, but you and I, we can bear much fruit. Bear much fruit. We don't have to be, let me say it to you like this to help bring some more clarity. You and I get to bear much fruit as opposed to being barren. As opposed to being barren. Actually, there's another verse in the Bible that says, you know, that we used to produce the unfruitful works of darkness. We were just producing stuff and it just wasn't anything. All right? We get to be fruitful as opposed to barren. All right, so the second major subject I see Jesus talking about today is fruitful. How can I apply that in my life? Since we're talking about digesting it more so that I can get a clear understanding so I can walk it out in my life, so I can be a doer of God's word. How do I apply that in my life today? You and I, we've got to check out the fruit that we are bearing. You and I have got to consider the things that are coming out of our lives. And when we do, we've got to say, all right, is this godly fruit or is this some nasty fruit? Is this godly or is this rotten fruit? And when you do, we already talked about it today. Hey, the two catalysts are either the Holy Spirit's at work in your life in that area or your flesh is doing some crazy stuff. All right? And so you can come along and say, what kind of fruit am I bearing? All right, this is coming from the Holy Ghost. I'm going to keep that. I'm going to improve that. This is coming from my flesh. I'm going to crucify that. I'm going to put that to death. I'm not going to do that, all right? And we can change the kind of fruit that we are producing by just simply considering what it is that we are producing. And so today, the three subjects, subject number one, major subject number one was God's position. He is the giver of life. Subject number two, I find in these verses, is the subject of fruitfulness. And then today, subject number three, the major subject I find, another major subject I find in these verses is the subject of abiding in him. Abiding in him. Look at verse number four with me here, John chapter 15, verse number four. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." Verse number five, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit." And then finally, verse number six, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Today, you and I have got to learn how to make Jesus Christ our home. Pastor Luke brought it out, brought a clear understanding of that word abide, that you and I are to learn how to remain in him. Maybe I could break it down for the young adults in the Inland Empire like this. Too many Christians today are too interested in dating Jesus, all the while he wants a marriage kind of relationship with you. See, when you date somebody, it's honestly, it's kind of shallow. You call them up when you want to call them up. You show up when you want to show up. Hopefully you show up when you're supposed to show up, because then you're not going to be dating them for very much longer. All right? But you talk to them when you want to talk to them, how you want to talk to them. You set the boundaries. You do the stuff. You know, all right, it's getting late. All of a sudden, you're tired that day. You see the phone call. I don't feel like answering today. I'm going to go date somebody else. Dating relationships can be shallow, all right? On the other hand, when you get married, life changes. Just so you know, young people in the house, life changes, all right? You are around that person 24/7. Forget about personal space. It does not exist in marriage. And you need to know that before you get married, all right? You're going to go to bed with that person. You're going to wake up next to that person. They're going to try to kiss you with their stanky breath. The reason why I know that, because my wife is always, she's not the one with stinky breath. I am. She's like, ah! Everybody thought I was going to blame it on her. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, hi, baby. And she's like, oh, go brush your teeth. Go brush your teeth. When you get married, man, you're going to eat breakfast with them. You're going to eat lunch with them. You're going to eat dinner with them. And guess who you're having breakfast, lunch, and dinner with the next day? And the day after that. And the day after that. You get out of the shower. Guess who's right there doing their thing, too? You use the restroom, they're right there too. There's no getting tired. I don't feel like answering my phone right now. I tried that before. Pastor Luke is like, amen, brother. Preach. All right? It's a difference of abiding and being child. You and I are to make our home in Jesus Christ. Too many of us are like the children of Israel. You know, they loved it when they got delivered out of Egypt. They love it when the Bible says that, man, they plundered Egypt when they walked out. They had so much gold and silver, they could barely carry it. Read your Bible. It's there. It says that actually, if you were in your house at that time when they walked out and you thought you didn't have enough silver, just go to your neighbor's house and be like, I don't have enough silver. Can I have some of your silver? Oh, I'll give you. All right? Just, they had the wealth of Egypt. Every one of them walked out healed in their bodies. They get pinned up up against the Red Sea, and God splits the sea, and they walk across on dry ground, all right? They're rejoicing, throwing a big party. The Lord has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea, all right? Then they get out into the desert, and the Bible says that God rains down manna from heaven, and they're just loving it. And then all of a sudden, they get up to the foot of the mountain. When God comes down on the mountain, He's ready to reveal himself. He's ready to consummate the relationship. It's like almost like the wedding day. He comes down on the mountain, and what happens? They all run away. They all run away. Moses ends up being the only one to draw near. So what do we see? We see they like the miracles. They like all the stuff that God will do for them. They like a sugar daddy in the sky. But they want a relationship with God on their terms. On their terms. And that's not abiding in him. If you look at the words that they said to Moses, Moses, you go hear what God has to say, and then you come and tell us, and we'll do it. Guess what? Didn't work for them, and it won't work for you either. You can't have a relationship with God through me or Pastor Luke or Pastor Jim. You got to have your own. All right? Otherwise, the things we say, you know what? It'll come across to you as law. Does that make sense to you? If I'm speaking to you for God, it will come across to you as a law. And my Bible says that the law strengthens sin. It's not until you have that personal, intimate relationship with God and you hear in God. So then, Pastor Joe, if we're not to listen to what you say, then why do we come to church? To hear the voice in the voice? To hear the voice in the voice? Now, you got to check what I say, because not everything I say is coming from his voice, all right? We all have a little bit of just, the Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part, but then one day it's all going to be revealed. We're going to stand face to face, all right? So you have a responsibility to know your word, all right, and check what I say, all right? But why do you come to hear from the voice inside the voice? You and I have got to come to a place where we remain in him. Let me break it down for you like this, young people. Church attendance does not count for remaining in him. Pastor Joe, are you going there? Yes, I am. Now, let me explain what I mean, all right? It does count in the sense, if you're coming to church and you have a sincere heart, you're bringing your Bible, you're listening, your heart is attentive, you're there to get all you can, that counts. But you know what? When you don't bring your Bible and you're sipping on your Starbucks and you're just chilling out and you don't really care, that doesn't count. Now, I'm not picking on anybody back there. I promise I'm not. But we have, I see it all the time. You know, I work in youth, work in shift, and there's a lot of people, they just sit back there within the, I'm sorry, guys, the sound booth and you know what? They're not even on the schedule to volunteer. They're just sitting back there. But see, that doesn't count for a relationship with God. If you're not on the schedule, you should have your Bible, you should be in a seat, and you should be listening to the word of God. You should be after the things of God. Coming to church doesn't count for a relationship with God. Check this one out. Saying no to sin does not count for abiding in him. All right, turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. It does count a little bit, so let me justify that statement as well. But watch what Jesus says here. Watch what Jesus says here. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1. He says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works." That'll preach right there. Notice he didn't say, I know your hearts. Anyways, I'm moving right along. "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." Stop right there. Look up at me. You would think that the next thing he says, dude, that's what I'm talking about. That's how you abide. Watch what he says in verse number 4. "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have," underline this next word, "left." The word abide means to remain. He says here, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left." You have left your first love. "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." See, people, everybody alive today has this characteristic about them naturally outside of Jesus Christ, and that is that you start off good and you don't end up too good, all right? In this sense, we could use an example as, you know what, people that they find somebody and they're just like, oh my gosh, and telling all their girlfriends and they're telling all their homies they are so cute and they're just, oh my gosh, I just love talking to them all the time and I'm falling in love. And then eventually you get engaged and you get married and everybody goes crazy at the wedding and then you have the honeymoon experience. And all the single people said, amen. and then all of a sudden, 3 years later, 4 years later, they want nothing to do with one another. Why? Because they forgot about the first works. They forgot about dressing up nice and putting on the cologne and going out on dates and whispering sweet nothings in their ear. Now the marriage is just habit and routine. Yeah, the house is clean and the kids aren't crying but the husband is in one side of the house and the wife is on the other. And so what happened is they left their first love. And so today you got to ask yourself, am I abiding in him? Am I really abiding? Is Jesus Christ really my first love? Is he really the one that I spend my time thinking about? All that time you and I spend daydreaming about this and daydreaming about that, how much is Jesus in there? All that time, you know what I find about people? When something is really cool to them, something is man, hot to try, they got the new this or the new that or oh my gosh this, it comes out of their mouth. How much do you talk about Jesus? Do you remember when you first got saved? And it just about not a service could pass without you crying because you were so sensitive to him. Do you remember when you first got saved and you just couldn't wait to tell somebody else about him, about what you learned? Do you remember how much you used to think about him and getting to know him and doing things for him? Today, the way that you abide in Jesus Christ is he is your passion starting today until the day you die. He is your passion. He is your desire. He is your first love. Jesus, I'll catch a grenade for ya. Anyways, you know, maybe you're not quite like me, and that's okay. But you know, sometimes I hear these love songs, and you know what? Your mind should be something back there, thinking about, you know, it may be your spouse, yes, but at some point in time, it should click. Man, God, this song is really about you. When I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change, because Jesus, you're amazing. Anyways, your first love. I say that because, you know, we spend so much time, especially single people, listening to, anyways, emotional roller coasters. All right? But you know what? We love so many different things. But is Jesus Christ your first love? That's how you and I abide in him. He's our passion. Getting to know him is where it's at. What is your life about? Getting to know him. What is your life about? Running to him. Drawing near to him. Listen, if you want to remain in Jesus Christ, this is the way you do it. He's got to be your refuge. He's got to be your comfort. He's got to be your peace. He's got to be your love. He's got to be your life. He's got to be your hope. I like how Pastor Jim says it. He's got to be your everything. He's got to be your everything. Looking at verse number 6 of John chapter 15. Verse number 6. Remember, we're talking about this last one is abiding in him. John chapter 15, verse number 6. It says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. I'll never forget. Actually, maybe I will forget. I don't know. But there's time recently at my house. It was nighttime, and my wife and I were watching TV, and I kept on hearing this. And then I would get up and like, what is that? And stop. And it would stop. And go sit back down, and a few minutes later, I think if I remember right, even at one point in time, my dog got up. He was like, ooh, ooh. You know, like, shut up, jerk. Sit down. Anyways. All right. And so anyways, so I kept on hearing it, and I was like, man, I think somebody's outside. Anyways, I ended up going to bed because I couldn't find out what it was. Got up the next morning. I was on my way to work or wherever I was going. And we have these palm trees outside of our house. And you know how they have the little, well, they're not the branches of the palms, but they're the little wooden pieces. And what had happened, maybe I should have studied this before, anyways, what had happened was one had grown out and it had withered. And so it was hanging just by, you know, it's, you know, how they can get kind of stringy, the wood. Oh, gosh. This example is just hitting home. Anyways, it was hanging and the wind was blowing it, and so it was just hitting up against a tree. Crunk, crunk, crunk. And that was the noise that I heard. But the point of the story is he says here in verse 6, is if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out of the branch and is withered. And so, you know, if you and I do not abide in him, what happens is you're a branch, and all of a sudden you slowly begin to, you're not so fruitful over here, you're not so fruitful over there. A little loss of zeal here, a little loss of passion here, a little less church attendance over here, a little cuss word over there and over here, and a few more that you didn't used to be. All right, because you're not abiding in him, all of a sudden you begin to lose your fruit. All of a sudden, you don't have any fruit. All of a sudden, you wither even more, and you begin to die. And what happens to a branch that withers and dies? It eventually falls off the tree. All right, today, in today's generation, we pay HOA fees, and they come and they cut them off before they fall. All right, but what happens once the branch falls off? The people come and gather them, and you've seen those big trucks next to the street, and they throw them through those big shredders, all right? Or they take them and they make firewood out of them. And so what's going to happen to you if you and I don't abide in him? We're going to come to the place where we wither, to the place where we fall off. And what's interesting to know is what Jesus says to those who stand before him in judgment one day. It says that many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord. But he'll say this, watch what he says, go from me, you who practice lawlessness. All of a sudden, their fruit was sin. All right, lawlessness is sin. All right, you guys follow me? Go from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know what they're going to say after that? Bible says they'll say, but Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? Now, I don't know about you, but I never cast out any demons, so they got one up on me. All right? Have we not done great works in your name? I wonder today if those people were people who were in the vine. But because they didn't abide in him, they eventually withered, fell off the tree, bearing some ugly fruit, not even knowing. And all of a sudden, they'll stand before God one day, and they'll be cast into the fire. So tonight, the three subjects, three major themes that I found in John 15, verses 1 through 6, are the subject of God's position. He is the giver of life, and he is not the taker. Number two, the subject of fruitfulness. And number three, today, the subject of abiding in him. And if we don't abide in him, verse number six says, hey, we'll wither, fall off the vine, and we'll be gathered and thrown into the fire.